This aircraft carrier sent out 7 pilots to look for submarines. Nighttime came, they had to come back. And so they were trying to find the aircraft carrier, but they didn't know. They didn't know until after they had gone that there was all lights out on the aircraft carrier. No lights. And so the guys radioed back to them, "Can you give us some lights? We need some hope where to land." They said, "We can't. It's a blackout. We can't give you any light. How about a flashlight or a candle?" "No. The orders are complete blackout. Where is our hope? We need, how about a candle?" "No, nothing. All 7 perish." Whose story? Because you can't live without hope. Hope is life. I'm thinking, I don't know the situation, but I do know, man, I don't care if whoever said it was black. I'd get somebody out there with a flashlight. You see, people need a flashlight today. They don't need all their problems solved. Some of them they cause, some of them the devil caused, and some of them are just because you live on this earth. But they do need somebody with a life. They do need somebody that's not all negative at work. They do need somebody that's not God. Somebody at the water cooler is spreading hope. Not this, that, and another. Because people are perishing like those 7 pilots. Because why? Our light's under a basket. Our light's not on the hill. But God help us in the Rock Church of Petersburg to be the city on the hill. The light to a dark place. I don't want pilots crashing and dying because someone didn't have the sense to hold up something. And I know orders have to be obeyed, but God has something greater than orders. He's got grace, He's got power, and He wants a church that can spread hope to everyone. Give Him a praise, son. People are committing suicide. Yeah, I don't have any hope. People are OD. You know we lead the world in overdoses of prescription drugs, deaths. One thing I was watching the other night on American Greed about these 2 doctors that got together and just began to give prescriptions out to everybody that needed Percocet, whatever it was, a painkiller. So many people died. Finally, they called them in. Now they're in prison. What do people take? And I'm not against medication, but guess what? We got to have a bigger hope than that pill bottle. You got to have a bigger hope than your doctor. You got to have a bigger hope than what the news is telling. You got to have a bigger hope than the state of the church in the world. We got to have a hope, and His name is Jesus. People have perished. Teenagers taking their lives because someone made fun of them at school. Teenagers taking their lives because they didn't make the basketball team. You see, hope is so foundational. When I think of Christmas, I think of hope. The hope that things are going to get better. The hope that what God said He's going to do. The hope that I can't change the circumstances, but God can. It's not up to me. We've messed things up by what we've said, what we've done. But there's a better hope than me. My goodness, if it's all left up to me, forget it. I'm looking for better hope. That's what Christmas is about, folks. Hope. If it's deferred, it makes the heart sick. Sick with depression, sick with suicide, sick with what's the purpose of life, Alfie? What's it all about? I'm going to let you know, when you go to a big store, 1 out of 10, probably 9 out of 10 people don't have the hope they need. You see, you need hope for every aspect of your life. First of all, you need hope for your marriage. Half the marriages end in divorce within 2 years. You need hope for your children. Yes. It's nice when they're all cuddly and 2 and 3 and all that, but guess what? They're going to grow up. They're going to have a mind of their own. You need hope that God can bring the prodigals on. Yes. You need hope for yourself.
You ever try to change yourself? You change your hairdo, get your hair colored, get a sweater. But how about changing the inside? Patient man is better than a warrior. How patient are we? He's looking over an offense seeketh love. How many offenses have you overlooked? Changes Jesus. I need hope. God can change this person into Christ image. How about this? We need the hope for that joy instead. You want to know why your joy leaves? It's not tied to hope. Or it's tied to a hope that the expiration date ran out. I needed a new one. How many of you know that your iPhone and everything, the other kind of phone with black and white screen, how many know that every once in a while they shoot you a message, we're going to update your phone tonight at midnight? How many get those? Some of you don't get updated, but anyway, I'm not getting them updated. But anyway, you know, it's like, okay, why do I need to update it? Why am I going to take some of my RAM and update it? Then you look at the top, most of the time, for better security. You know what? You're going on a hope. You got an altar 10 years ago. You got to update it, buddy. I said, you got to update it.
Amen.
How do you update it? You draw close to the one who is close. Church services alone ain't going to do it. Your job, your career, your marriage. No. Hope is a person. And if I don't update my hope, things will come into my life and I'll backslide. I'll stop going to church. I'll stop giving. I'll stop being the person. Why? Because, see, the hope is small. Oh, it was all right years ago. That's why your relationship with the Son of God, like the bride said in the Song of Solomon, he's altogether lovely. He's my friend. Listen, daughters of Jerusalem, casual church attendant, you don't even know him. And you're asking me why I love him so? You get along with him. You see, my hope is tied to my joy. Amen.
Amen.
The more hope, the more joy.
Yes.
It's life to us. Hope is light. If I say hope is light. Isaiah 9:2. This people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, has them a light has shone. What is darkness? Deception, religion, philosophies of men, love of money, vain stuff. We live in a hedonistic society, which means give me all I can get, honey. Debbie and I were talking, if we could, we'd get a group of people right now and go down there to Kentucky, where the tornado has killed almost 100, destroyed 1,500. I said, we'd go right now. But we sent money. We couldn't go physically. You see, people are suffering. The gospel, thank God for Franklin Graham, going there, not only helping them and giving the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know the song says, this little light of mine, but I would rewrite it. This hopeful light of mine. And by the way, it's not a little light. Christ in me is not a little miniature Christ. God's within inside of me. God is within inside of me. The Holy Spirit is God. He's inside of you. He's not limited by my weight. Because I've lost 18 pounds doesn't mean that God's gotten smaller inside. Hope makes God bigger.
Amen.
Drawing near to God makes him bigger. Mm-hmm. Brokenness makes God bigger. Realizing that one day I'll stand and give an account, not only of my life, but my words, my attitudes, and my actions.
Amen.
I bow before that manger.
Amen.
For hope is like revelation. People say, I don't know what God wants. I don't know what to do, and spend time with him.
You're spending too much time at church and not enough time in a secret place. God will speak to you. I said God will speak to His
Amen.
Children. Amen.
Amen.
Quit trying to go to people and what do you think God's saying? Don't ever do that unless you've been in a prayer closet. And if you do it, only do it for confirmation. Don't ever go to people and ask them what God is saying about your life.
Amen.
I've prophesied over thousands of people. I never, never violate the prophetic unction and integrity. I'm not God. I'll try to help you. But if you're not...
Go ahead now.
Are you loving Jesus more than this? I'll tell you how you know, because your prayer life's changing. You're not praying half an hour for everything in the world to be changed. You're praying, you're just spending time with Jesus. And then maybe at the end asking your request. And you know what? Sometimes we don't realize it, but we need to just take 10 minutes after our prayer and do nothing but sit still and let Him talk. I mean, is it a two-way conversation? That takes time. We're busy. But I don't want to claim no possible thing. I want you to do it more. I said, I want you to do it more.
Amen.
I value my time with God greater than any ministry, any place I've preached, any church. You can take that all away. Now I'm going to take it. It's more important than being before. Or is getting alone with hope? It's light. Just told that story. How about this? Hope is liberty. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace of believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the God of hope. Fills you with joy and peace and believing. Believing what? That the Holy Spirit is more powerful than our pitiful sins. He's more powerful than all the things that attack us. He gives me hope. Draw nigh. Draw nigh to you. You see, I look at drawing nigh to God as He's walking next to me down the path. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to convince Him I'm spiritual. I don't have to ask Him. You know, God, let me tell you something. This might be controversial, but anyway. Playing a Trans-Siberian song is this controversial. Do you know that God never intended you and I to work 40 and 60 hours a week? You know that? Do you know Adam and Eve was kind of like a working vacation? Probably a vacation and a little bit of work, really. Doesn't mean God wants them late. They weren't lazy. But the emphasis was on fellowship with God. Because of the sin, the curse came, and now we got to work. Here lies the dilemma in that. Unless I'm a mature believer and understanding of God's eternal purposes, I can sometimes think all of my work can translate into a close walk with God. We know you can't be lazy. We know that. And that's why many thousands of people today are not in the house of God because they worked all week and they're just too tired to come and whatever. Yeah, we have to work. But see, if I don't have a hope that's building, that job can become an idol and go. Because, see, I got to get a new car because the other one's got a new car and I got to get a new TV because they got a bigger one. And I can show everybody how important I am. We tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Like an onion, He peels away the carnality in the flesh of our life. But He comforts us at the same time. You might see carnality in someone else and you try to fix this, not going to happen because you're not the Holy Spirit.
you cause problems. You got to commit them to God. So you got to commit them to God. No, you didn't get it. You see, you can't do the Holy Spirit's job. He knows how. He's the candle of the Lord. And there's a lot of bitter people because they've not grown their home. And they're bitter. James says, don't think that you can't be tempted with the root of bitterness. I've seen it, and I've seen it defile it. I've seen people spew bitterness out, bring up people's names, and defile. And it's interesting as people get away from that. You should too. You know, you can say, hey, you know, I understand you're bitter, and I'm going to pray for you. Well, no, I don't want to go out and hear you roast that person to get out of your bitterness. I don't know. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're family or friend. I'm not going to do it. Because see, you and I have come too far. God's brought you too far to get defiled. And don't think you can't be defiled by bitterness. James says you can be. So what I'm going to do, I want to hang around people that have more hope than I do, have a more mature hope than I do. Feed me, baby. How did you get that revelation of God? I need more hope for what I'm dealing with. Hang around people of hope. And that's why it's so great about our Savior. When he was born, he brought a hope we can grow in. We don't have to take days of self-pity, crying, wondering what life's about. We can know a liberty in God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Give him a praise, somebody. Hope is love. We are living in a time where people are so full of hate. Blaming others. Blaming this. Blaming that. That's not love. I said that's not love. You know, there's got to come a place in your life where you stop blaming your past. And for me, it had to come a place where I had to stop blaming the relative that sexually molested me at 12. It was 10 years after I was gotten saved that I finally released that person. You know, we can be bringing up stuff all the time. Think it happened last year. This happened, this happened in church, this person did this. Okay. How do you deal with stuff? These words. Servant isn't greater than the master. And what they did to the master is going to happen. Because he will never know the fellowship of his sufferings until you get rejected. He'll never know the fellowship of his sufferings until we understand that price that he paid, you see. And so I need hope that brings me a fresh love, so when you cuss me, I don't cuss you back. You know, a lot of Christians say Christian cuss. They don't say all the words, but they say the same tone with different words. Okay, we move on. Okay. Christian cussing. Yeah, that's all right. I couldn't say the word yet, but you set the tone, and God lets you tone as much as possible. Turn to somebody and say he's talking about me. No, don't say you. Just say he's talking about me. Okay. Talking about me. Hallelujah. And I want to make love this morning. Hope doesn't make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. Listen, honey, if I go home, Pastor Taylor wants to have a roast beef, and she throws me a couple onions. So now you peel the onions. Ugh, I hate peeling onions. Guess what? If I don't peel them onions, we don't get no onions. I've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit when he's trying to shed some old things off and put some new things on called love. Now here's a question for us church folks. How lovable are we? How lovable. What is our persona? What is our disposition?
said this before for many years here. When people leave our presence, do they feel Jesus Christ's love? No. Because love is hope. Hope doesn't make us ashamed. We're not ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed. He took my shame. I'm not going to be Scrooge. I'm going to be the Scrooge after the last angel visit.
Lad, what day is it? What day is it, son? Christmas morning? Oh, what a great lad. Oh, he's a great lad. Hey, have they sold that pious turkey down there? Yeah, that big one. Oh, yeah, go get it. I'll give you a shilling. Come back within 5 minutes. I'll give you a pearl. Oh, Merry Christmas, world.
Hello? You need to watch that. I like the one with George Hugh Stowe. But, oh man, I like that. No. I'm not loving. I'm close to that. That's just not always easy to love. No, it's not with human love, but it's easy with God's unconditional love.
Yeah.
I need more. Hoping is not ashamed. Hope is long. Y'all have something long before? Some of you at your dinner. How many have your dinner already prepared before you come to church? Yeah, I do, Pastor. It's Texas Roadhouse. I'm preparing for dinner. There used to be that. Years ago.
Yes.
Am I right? Come on.
Yes.
20, 30 years ago, people, or 40 people, they had all their, they cooked before they went to church. Is that true?
Yes.
What happened to that? I'll tell you what happened. The worst invention to kill that in the microwave. Amen. Now, I was growing up, we used to have TV dinner. They still make it. We used to do it Friday night, get some TV trays. So for those dinners, turn on Wild Wild West. Watch it. But on Sunday, there's already preparation before we went to Mass. We just need to get back. Don't we, ladies? Come on. 2022, you get up at 6 on Sunday morning. Come on. That's after you've spent 4 hours on Saturday preparing. Come on, guys. How many guys would raise your hand? Yeah, one. The rest of the guys are scared of the wife is here. But anyway, amen. All right. You see, hope is longing for something. Let's look at this as we get to close. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Titus is saying, listen, I know he came, he was born of a virgin, it was the grace of God that came, it taught us something, how to live, how to connect with God, but there's another coming of Christ. It's the blessed hope. And we should be longing. Longing. Some of us are going to see him before that because our time's going to be up. God's going to give you the ticket one morning and it's time to get on the train. There's no stopping it. Because if David said, my time's in your hands. If you're seeking after God, the devil can't take you. If you're gone because God, listen, if you're serving God, then you're in his will. That's why we don't need to question them. Why did God exist? Why does one die? Listen, if they're serving God, God's smarter than us. I'm looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking for it? People today are looking for the next bad news, the next thing, the next war, the next this. I'm looking for the blessed hope. That when I get up in the morning, I don't have to take 5 minutes for all my body to try to work together.
where there ain't no tears.
I don't have any grief. I'm looking for a blessed hope where I can see the name prints in my Savior's name. And look into his eyes. I understand mansions and all that. I understand authority in heaven. I understand all these things. I understand angels, but I'm not going to ever see angels or saints or mansions. He's been my blessed one. He's been. Darkness, valleys, high times, low times, abounding. Prayers answered, prayers not answered. Sickness, health, he's been there. And he'll always be there. What are you longing for this Christmas? Pastor, I need to do this and that. I'm longing, I hope someone gives me this and that. Okay, I understand the desire. This is a question as I go. How many children across the world wake up Christmas morning even thinking about Jesus? How many parents? All the parties, all the night. Are we longing for Christmas morning or for the Christ of the morning? Is our hope daily? Is it a joy we make? You don't know an iron face, I need a bigger hope, stronger hope. I draw mine to God. He said, I'll bring myself, my hope to you. You'll wonder how you're getting through that trial. Others wouldn't, because they didn't follow you, because you drew near to have one hope. Let's stand up this morning in his presence. Wonderful Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands up to him. Wonderful Jesus. You're our hope, Lord. Wonderful Savior. Born on that day to bring us home. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your holy name tonight. You're our hope. Cause us to grow in hope. Cause us to grow in joy. Let not this Christmas season go by without giving a light to someone. Oh, Lord, even if it's a flashlight, even if it's a candle, let us not fail, oh God, to show the light. We take the basket off our candle. We take the basket off this church. Doesn't have to be a bright light to blind them. It's some type of an encouraging word, a smile, a handshake, to release the light of hope from heaven. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Oh, tree of life, rise within us. Bear the fruit of Christ. Bear the fruit of grace. Bear the fruit that others can partake of and find the Savior. So many lost this year. Bring them back home, Father, we ask. Let your light shine from us, from this congregation. Our cities, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout.